For what?
Andrea, just checking to see if you can hear us. I know one of the computer audios is acting funny, but.
I can hear you now. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right, perfect. Thanks.
Okay, we should be good.
So it really depends on how the shirt's cut.
Yeah. I think you're large all the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. Better to be a little glossy than super cut. Don't
want to impede that. I always found that. Okay, so Under Armour is large, much bigger than anybody else's large.
Well, foot joys run really large too. And they go a size down and put you in there.
So if we get Under Armour shirts, they run a little smaller.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Nike shirts run about.
I know most of you, I printed off my models. Everybody's in the basement.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, welcome. Thanks for coming to the impromptu golf committee meeting. John, anything from you on getting started? We just want to jump right into it. I'm not sure. Please move this one away from the shared. It keeps popping up. I don't know what.
It's an ask you to it.
Oh, yeah, it's asking if you let it.
It keeps coming back. I'm not sure. Anyways. At least we'll be able to see. It'll be at the top, but out of the way. Okay.
It says you can move that away. Try to move that away.
I tried, yeah. It might just be because the other stuff, this computer's the only one I could get work with the projector, and it's quite old, so. Okay, got a few items to go over. We'll just kind of follow the agenda. I know some of you got to leave a little early, so we'll try to fly through some of the important stuff, but more numbers, and then at the end we can discuss some things. It's kind of grainy on here, but we had a gentleman come take some really cool drone videos and some pictures of golf course. That's just one of them. I'll show you some more. So I got these numbers from Janice today. And I've made a little caveat at the bottom. This isn't after our audit, which they did yesterday. These are what the numbers she had for us. So last fiscal year, total revenue, $1,164,000, total expenses, $1,334,000. So we had a deficit of approximately $170,000, which is good. It's better than last year, but we did make a note that the previous fiscal year, the golf course had spent $93,000 on capital improvement projects. Whereas this last fiscal year, they spent zero. And we actually had sold some equipment, which added us some revenue. So all in all, our last fiscal year revenue is generally pretty close to what it was previous year. So even though it shows that we're $128,000 better, it's really more like 30 if you're to take out the capital improvement project money. Any questions on that's where we're at?
So let me just remind the committee what you said first. These are unaudited numbers. Mm-hmm. So the audit will be complete by December, and then we'll have final numbers. But these are the preliminary numbers.
Yeah, she was pretty confident in that, especially the revenue expenses.
And again, the year to date is. The fiscal date ends by
June 30th.
So these are last year's numbers.
Right. And you started June 1st. Okay, so you won this.
Yeah. I was here for a month.
He's proud of
it. So even more important, what do the numbers look like year over year for April, May, June, July?
previous
the last 4 months. I mean, I'm curious because obviously we're trending in the right direction.
Well, so June was the same as last June.
Okay.
May was down and April was down. A lot of that was, especially in April, we weren't operating carts, it was walking only, and we had tea time spread out. And that was a good portion of May as well.
I can remember we went for a few weeks before temperature.
Yeah.
Right.
So those ones were down, but June we were right at where we were at last June.
Okay. So it pretty started turning around good in June, and then July.
Yeah, we're going to get into July. Okay. We're excited. And I think that might be the next one.
Just one more question.
Yeah.
Depreciation is kind of an irrelevant number for because we don't pay.
We talked about this, but it's not really something we would include as a cash loss.
More just showing the equipment and how it depreciates.
It's really, it's two things. It's one way of trying.
Depreciation has been an intentional point right along here, because if you add the depreciation in, then the loss is about 400,000, which is what we've talked about the last few times. Now you're right, I mean, depreciation is, you built this building and it cost you $2 million, and you depreciate it, let's say, for 10 years to make it easy, so it's $200,000 per year. So the money was long ago spent, but at some point you assume you're going to have to renovate or rebuild the building. So the idea is you should be covering the depreciation in your operations. Otherwise, eventually, you have nothing left because you can't renovate, you can't rebuild. So,
but to hold a general manager, a manager responsible for a depreciation number, doesn't seem appropriate because he has zero control over it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the one number that I've looked up there, and Ken and I have talked about it, is the expenses, because it also some things in the expenses that
he has
no control over, right? It's because of the city. So when I've asked, to really get much more into the expenses, I mean, I like to, at some point, break out what's really Tyler's budget from the standpoint of his people and his expenses here at the golf course versus stuff that relates to the city.
Kind of.
In the real world, depreciation is awesome.
Right.
The last big tax, you pay yourself back for your investment. So you're right, Brian. It's kind of irrelevant. And yet it's.
It's only relevant because if you don't cover that cost, you're not going to be able to maintain yourself in the long run.
Right. Well, you just borrow later and hold it back.
Yeah,
but it's also the best.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if you don't cover your depreciation, then it just means every time you're going to have to borrow money.
We're not.
That's what most people do with cap.
Yeah.
I mean, most governments don't use those sorts of sinking funds or depreciation funds, but we are required to track it, and that's why it continues to come up. It's part of our accounting rules.
And I'm sorry, these numbers are so small. I'll go through them. So this is July of this year, and I've got comparisons all the way back to 2017. So the top line is revenue. So this July, and again, this is without our monthly audit, as well as they're oranges, apples to apples. So everything's compared apples to apples. Our revenue for July this year was $265,000. Last July, $129,000. Then last, the 2018, 122,000, and then 2017, 126,000. So we kind of see this trend of 120 to 130, and then a big jump this year. A big portion of that is we did almost 2,800 more rounds this year in July than we did last July, and pretty much the same. They were within a couple hundred each year, so 6,900, 6,800, 7,000. So
the fees are higher
as well.
So this year again, how many? I heard 2,800. So you were about 7,000. So you did almost 10,000.
Yes, 10,855 rounds we did in July, which is
higher per cap.
Highest since I think 2005 or 2006, the highest rounds we've had. Yeah. The driving range on average 2019, 2018, and 2017 were about 7,000. This July, we were 15,294. So up a lot in the driving range. Yeah.
So it's double?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll share this with you.
Can you blow those numbers up a little bit?
Yeah.
Just on the screen, even if you get rid of that picture.
Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, you're already asked to join.
That is the silver lining. Well, people now have time to play golf and they didn't before.
You know, I'm going to, that certainly plays a part of it. I'm not going to deny that. On the other hand, guess what?
It's a huge part nationally. I mean, rounds to play are up 33% in most markets.
Oh, we're up 100%. I'm trying to point out that the fact that Tyler's keeping the driving range in the past six.
Yeah. We may have to mute your.
He's doing everything right.
Well, you said it.
That's very important.
Yeah. Real small. Yeah, sorry, this computer.
It was just a little bit of an eye test.
There's something else. So, Tyler, are there people that can call
him? John's just on his.
I'm muted, so I don't know. It's coming from someplace else.
I think it stopped. No. You may have just sent down you're getting my volume from this that they're recording. So you just have to turn your volume on.
The other thing that we have changed as a city is that there were some contracts that were trading services for free help. There were some old policies, I'll say. Old unwritten misunderstandings that people would be able to get free golf if they were related to some work care, maybe. So anyway, we've put an end to free golf. That's the purpose of one of the purposes of this policy statement is to identify who gets a discount and who doesn't.
Yeah.
So Tyler's done a wonderful job. Ending that practice.
New sheriff in town.
So we had, I'll give you a good example. We have a fire district that we're part of. The fire department employees are coming up here, and I did talk to the chief, and we're changing this.
Okay.
But they were well involved as if they were city employees. Well, Valley View, not Valley View, Lakeside, Bountiful Ridge, didn't know how for those discounts. But we did.
Which drives them here all the more.
So we had lots of fire that way. So we're going to end that. We didn't end that yet, but we're going to. I talked to the chief asking about that this week. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are some of the changes.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many rounds a week do you think the firefighters are using?
There was only probably two or three very frequent players. Yeah, but they would come in very. Not great times. Yeah, they'd come on the weekends during. Yes, peak times.
The key on that is if you can figure out a way to accommodate them without alienating them, that's great. But as Tyler pointed out, you can't afford to give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the long term, it perpetuates the perception that any public entity can come up and play for free, and you don't want to do that.
No.
Because once the door is open, it's really hard to close the door.
Yeah.
So Tyler's done a great job doing that. And, I wasn't going to really mention it, but I think it's part of the explanation as to why our revenues are good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that are contributing to it.
There's not one giant silver bullet here. There's just a whole bunch of pieces coming together.
Yeah. And we did, I mean, at the end of the year when I give you a report on how many tournaments we got, with COVID-19, but we lost some tournaments because we were doing 100% trade with them. They would give us a service and we would give them basically free day to play golf. They were given the option to obviously come and play and pay, and several of them decided not to for obvious reasons. But so the daily play is made up for what they would have paid us, and revenue wise, obviously made that money. Rather than getting away.
So are there expenses? I mean, when are their expenses going to go up then for the services they were providing?
Not
so much.
No.
Sweet.
Well,
it's been a very good balance.
Yeah. So for an example, the University of Utah advertising group, we were trading $15,000 of golf for $15,000 in advertising. which if you were to look at today's advertising, that's a lot of money. I mean, I could $15,000 advertising. They were basically giving us a 1 minute spot of football games on the billboard and occasionally mentioning us on the radio for $15,000 plus a $6,000 golf day and vouchers for golf, basically whenever they wanted to use it. We gave them the option to come and pay, and we would do a little bit of advertising for them, but they didn't want to. I think they were so hurt that I told them they had to pay that they didn't even contact me back.
Well, it's good you told them that, because yeah, there aren't going to be any spectators in the stadium.
No, yeah, and that was one of our points, too.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There's
no, so that was just another example.
Thanks.
Nope.
But the bottom line is, and everybody already knows this, I'm stating the obvious simple, but it's trending in a really positive direction. And that's exactly what people would need to see. That's what the city needed to see. What you say, Brian? I mean, the trend is in a positive direction.
It just becomes all American. People know pay about what it's going on. Do they even know?
I think they know.
And the last line on there, I know it's hard to see. Pro shop sales, little over $18,000, which I was happy with to have pretty reasonably close to the last several years with kind of the operations we have. Not really, honestly, not a lot of people come in the pro shop. People will book online for a foursome. One guy will come check them in and not spend any money. So I was pleased with how close we were on the pro shop stuff. So
that's actually a very good number, considering you don't have those gift certificates that corporate outings yield.
Yeah.
That's the one area where it's hurt a little bit, but the number of rounds played by the public have more than made up for that.
Yeah.
Almost, eight to 10 bowls.
So we had zero corporate tournaments in July, so.
Any questions, Tyler? On the round, what are we projecting for this year?
I have not projected out through the whole year. I've got through August and October. I can find that though.
Well, I was wondering, do we know what's in the budget? I mean, the city's budget, how many rounds did we project for next year?
I think it was fairly low. It's in the high 40s, probably 48, 47,000. It was lower than what we probably will do.
You. Good for the team. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're
good for the city.
1 month and we're ahead.
Good for the city.
This is August, and again, I'm sorry. On my computer when I'm doing it, it looks great when you get on these small screens. So basically month to date through August, and I know we're only 7 days in as of yesterday. We're at 45,000. Last year, same date, we were at 37, so we're up. About $8,300. Rounds were up.
Which is 20-something%.
Yeah, so we're up 400 rounds. Driving range, everything is up. So we're trending, and last August was a very good month. We were $199,000. So I'm projecting us to be about 228 is what I've got on there. And that's a conservative.
Some of you may not know, but I live by just of my business, you actually have an extra Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
In August.
Yeah. And that's,
Which is, yes, in our gold is real money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's probably conservative. I took about $800 off of what we are averaging this month and took the average of what they averaged last month and kind of found the average of that. So it's a conservative estimate that will be about 228 on. So about $30,000 up from last August. Hopefully more, but
that's it.
Well, I wanted to under-promise and over-deliver. Yes, I remember that from our last meeting.
Under-promise,
I love it.
Okay.
I totally love it.
It might, as it gets hotter too, it might level off a little bit. I mean, it's hard to predict with the COVID-19, but.
Yeah. And school, I mean, it's kind of up in the air, but as far as a golf play, when school goes back, it's a noticeable drop. on play once school goes.
Well, you're going to pick up an extra week from what I heard. They push back
good
for a week and then
good
and down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't only not only affect the juniors that come out, but then parents have to stay home. They watch their kids and other activities. So it's something I'm watching for and we'll keep a close eye on. Any other questions on the August or July? We can get to the end too.
Just kind of while you're on the subject, do you have a couple of outings in August?
We have quite a few, a couple big ones as well. So our first, we had one already, Delta Fire Tournament. That's one big reason why we're up. They spent a couple $1,000 in merchandise. We've got a Komatsu. They're all day, tea times, pretty much all day. We've got several. We're probably 9, I think, the rest of this month. And fortunately, a lot of them are the last week of August. None on Saturday. They're all during the week.
Tyler, did Interform come back?
Yes. They're not doing a 3-day tournament. They're doing 1-day tea times pretty much all day. So I think it will be fairly similar.
He was one of the restarts.
Yeah, yep, so they're coming back.
When they do tea times like that, do you give them all the tea times or do you intersperse in public with it?
Yeah, so Delta Fire, for example, they had 120 players. We sent out groups before and kind of groups right after. So I estimate about extra $1,500 from including those public play. And we'll do the same thing with Komatsu. They're starting at 8, and I'll have public play going out. I'll give them a little bit of a gap to make sure they feel like it's a tournament.
Are they doing some gift certificates through
yes
the job?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Move the inventory.
Yeah. And I just sent it to Janice today. Our inventory for this year was lower than the previous July. A lot of it was products that the pro shop really wasn't open. So products that Brent normally would have ordered in June, I canceled because we had overstock in a lot of them. So we've saved a little bit there.
Well, this is a good year to be conservative in ordering everything.
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, a lot of golf professionals will be big proponents of they pre-book everything throughout the whole year. And here's my stock for the year, so I don't have to order anything. I don't have to think about it. I'm not on that path. When we get low, I'll order what inventory we need. We get low, or I don't like to have more than, you know, if you walk in there and see how many FootJoy shoes we have, it's because we pre-booked 100 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, there's way too many shoes for.
And that's just an example of that. So
Brent had pre-booked all of the balls and essentials like that, correct?
Yeah, usually they'll do an October order if they need to fill in, a January, February order, and then a June.
In hindsight, that was good that he did because the ball plants were closed down nationally. There were a lot of golf courses, for example, in Utah that had no Pro V1s or TP5s for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So
we're doing well on inventory.
I would suspect George has been affected negatively.
Yeah. July, they were pretty good. May and June were down quite a bit. We've not had really any events in here because people can't congregate inside and without the tournaments, their catering revenue is down as well. So this year they'll be down. This last fiscal year, certainly down. And hopefully to get them back up.
Lost cause this year.
Are you going to talk about that later in this discussion?
We didn't have our meeting.
You did not?
No, they had a wedding yesterday and we had the power out actually here. Well, you know. Yeah. So it feels nice in here, but this time yesterday it was 86 degrees in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you know how I feel about this space and the potential of the space.
Yeah.
We're on that subject. So on these corporate outings, are we doing a box launch?
Yes. Yep, they're doing a grab and go.
Being distributed out at the halfway house.
Yeah, so it was kind of nice here. Delta Fire, we roped off pretty much from this area all the way over. Had signs for them to come in. They grabbed their food, grabbed their prizes, and went out. So there wasn't hardly any people in here. They were just grabbing and going. And it was easy for George and Tony because they didn't have to take the food out. They just wheeled it in here. It worked out pretty well.
Well, is the snack shack open so that they can drive by and they're in their cart and just grab a box off the counter there?
No, that's not operable at all. But yeah, we're still working on it.
What's wrong with the mold?
I don't know. We've been told there's mold.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I noticed today is that there's the code on the windshield of the car now, so you can see the menu and you can call your order. A few weeks ago, my wife and I came over here to eat, and I think the story, you need an umbrella, so he had the size of an umbrella up. So that kind of keyed off a little discussion with him, and I said, well, why don't you have the umbrellas up? Why don't you put some more tables out there? Because I said, I know plenty of guys get it around with have a beer and so forth, and then he said, that's all good profit. He said, well, the city is threatening me so much, I'm not willing to do it. He says, I have the stuff at home. Now, whether he does or not, I don't know. But, at this point, after talking with him, I said, maybe we should have a meeting, a couple of us talk a little bit to see. Between us, do we want to keep them? Do we think we can do the job? I mean, if you do, then you've got to take the pressure off so he does it. But I think he's missing a ton of money. Right now, there's umbrellas up there, and so, if they come all over, they can tie them to the warehouse.
So, to address that, I did talk to Tanya today. She's looking at new patio furniture and umbrellas.
Brent and I talked to George about that very thing the very first day Tyler came on board, and we sat out.
It was
on
the patio.
And George said at that time that he was going to put tables with sun umbrellas out there. And this is what has never happened. So it's tough. George, not to try to speak on behalf of George, but I can tell you he's afraid that he's losing his shirt. Okay. He's really treading lightly because he thinks that this year is going to break him. He's really walking on.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of small business guys that are.
Yeah. Needs to. If I were in his shoes, I would have tables out there. I would do. I would try anything.
Yeah.
Even if it fails, what have you lost? You haven't lost
anything. Well, I'll tell you, at Glendale, at Valley View, they have limited number of tables. People sit there. I've sat with groups there, and if the tables are spaced a little more than this, and everybody's buying two or three pitchers of beer.
That's
you got four guys at a table, and you're running up $50 or $60, which with beer especially, it's 2/3 profitable. So you're losing a couple $1,000 a day by not having.
He really is.
Couple
$1,000 a day.
Oh yeah. If you figure, it's going to sit there for 45 minutes after you play your round, and if you buy $30 worth of beer, which is nothing for four guys, a lot of guys spend twice that, and it's so profitable because your margin on it is really good, and your cost of delivery, they go in and grab it. You don't need a waiter. And then, he makes very good food here. A lot of people, feel like you're coming in at dinner time. A lot of the guys that I play with are single for one reason or another. And, they'll grab a sandwich or a burger or whatever. So, I just think if it's not there, if people I came up and asked, no people wouldn't ask. You wouldn't even know they could ask, So it's one of those things that it's got to be done. And, just like the room was roped off here for, the tournament. It was like roped off or blocked off so people could be in here if the weather's not quite nice or something. Or it's too hot. That would work too because you could have like four tables spaced out. Food's a lot of money at a golf course because the players are mostly men. They've already pissed their wife off, so they. They're not going to go home and expect dinner, so they're going to eat before they go.
It's a good point. People who play in the morning will stay and eat lunch if there's any incentive at all to do so. And if it's, if there are accommodations. And then people who play in the afternoon, quite honestly, will they're going to say, you know, hey, it's too late to go cook dinner, and you know, you can't go out anywhere. So if we could get a nice steak sandwich or something here, they'll do it.
They've made some efforts, and we'll continue to do some. I mean, they just barely put up some new signs, and if you walk through there, some new outdoor window clings and things like that. So we'll continue to make some changes.
Would be beneficial for George and Tanya to be invited to sit in on the golf committee meeting, so that the committee
that way
they can kind of get a feel that you know, myself or John we're feeling these things, and yet, you know, like, I don't feel like I have any authority to go up to George and say, hey, why aren't you doing that, George? But if it were kind of a consensus, they might kind of
be good for the committee after George.
Well, probably me. I mean, to me, George said he was totally fearful of the that,
certainly.
You know,
no one's so scary. I get it. I totally get it.
Well, I mean, didn't the city serve him notice that he was agreeing?
Yeah, we gave him notice.
Okay. So, I mean, it needs to be a sit down with him and say either that's in place or it's not. And,
yeah. Well, yeah. He's probably, it's true, I think, to say he's running me scared.
So, I think we're talking about this credit to move forward. Be careful. I think maybe John, you know, invite you as a representative of the committee. And because we do have some contract details to talk about, they know that, and I don't want them. It's of no benefit to have them be scared and liable. They're afraid to do it.
Well, they also,
so I think we'll set that up and we'll invite you, John. That's okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Scott knows how I do. We talked yesterday. We had an internal meeting amongst ourselves with Jim's. And I've talked to our state attorney a little bit. And so we do have some contract changes that would be good. Some will be good for them, some will be good for the city. Because some of these terms in the contract, you know, are scary for them. There's some uncertainty. I can put myself in their shoes and see that. So we need to make some changes. But I think John would be good if you were part of that. Yeah, I think it would be good if you were part of that.
Yeah, I mean, it gives a little feel of, you know, somebody. I mean, I know he says it and he's felt good working with Tyler, so he just needs to.
Maybe I should be able to support.
Oh, no, he's not. I don't know, someone's got to bring the gun.
Yeah, good points. I'm in touch with them every day and check with them, so we'll make some
changes. But if he feels like I'd like to see him feel like the committee is trying to help him rather than hinder him.
You know,
if he feels like there's support, you know, and then quite honestly, you know, the committee always has some good ideas. And I think George would benefit from it
anyway. And there's a synergy, you know. It's like, well, let's play Inglewood because the food's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of like the.
There could be a synergy. I've honestly never heard anyone say, "Let's play Inglewood because the food is awesome."
Oh, we have, yeah.
Well, I can't share because it's good.
Oh, because he was so good that way.
Okay. Ready to?
Yes, sir.
4 minutes. Okay. I'll get control of this meeting. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Social media. I just want to touch on a couple of things. So we've done quite a few different promotions. Google review, had a 4th of July giveaway, and then some other prizes this in July. And we're doing some more in August. Running some ads on Facebook and Instagram. We're up to, just look today, we're almost at 1,000 followers on Instagram. My hope by the end of the year is to get to 1,500. I think that's very doable. If you look, so the bottom little graph is showing what our Facebook analytics metrics are. And there's there's hundreds. I just tried to pull a few of the ones I look at. Looking at the amount of people that, and if you look to total reach, that's the number I want you to look at. So in the middle, in June, 28,779. That's people viewing our profile, viewing our posts, commenting, liking, anything that they have to do on Instagram and Facebook, that's that number. Organic is just people coming to your site, looking for it without any motivations, no advertisements. And then paid is obviously ads. So our organic reach was very similar, only a few hundred less in July. But if you look at how many we have paid, so I spent $200 on two different ads on Facebook and Instagram and had over 86,000 people view our profile, like, comment, anything to do with Eaglewood, and got a total of 114,000. So I'm continuing to do that. Facebook and Instagram, about 200. I even bumped it up a little bit in August, about $300 in advertisements. I do different things, advertising even the event center, our afternoon special, men's association. And some of you, I can't even sell one, even liked it, I noticed. And I've got some video ads in there as well. So I thought it was interesting and kind of cool to see what advertisements will get you for your showing.
Is it generated any activity at all for the event center?
She said that she's gotten a lot of calls without her booking and asking, how did you hear about us? We don't really have that in place.
Do they have any weddings booked for later, like in September?
Yeah, we have, I think, 5 weddings booked the rest of the year is all. There's 2 in September. 2 later this month, I think in October, November, we have 1. So not too many. But I know that they're getting, when I look at that certain advertisement for the event center, I know we're getting people to view it and people to go to our website that I'm linking to look at it. Other factors than that, it's hard to tell if they're booking or not without confirming that as they're booking. I've got an event center online, not application form, but form to rent the facility. That's one of the questions I've got on there. We just haven't implemented it yet. So we'll start to track that some way. But there's some, I'm sorry, that's kind of covering that. So just a few things on marketing. We had this gentleman come up and do some drone video shots. I've got most of them, I think all of them, on the website. So if you have time and want to go look at some of those pictures, running event center afternoon special right now. I'll probably start up doing a ladies' day special and just run it specifically around Wednesdays when they play.
I see Facebook and Instagram. When you do Facebook, does it also end up on Instagram?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's the nice thing about that is Instagram is huge. I'm getting more views as people. Yeah. Yeah. The nice thing about that is whether I do just that. If I promote a post on Instagram, it costs me the same as if I were to do it Facebook and Instagram. They don't distinguish between the two. But if I just do it on Instagram, it does not populate onto Facebook. So if I run them through Facebook, it runs through both. So it's kind of, yes, yeah. So we've talked about doing some discount. Actually, John got this idea, and I talked to George about it doing is people play, we'll give them a discount on food. We'll track that. I'm doing some more Play Eaglewood drawings for some passes. Ladies Day, I'm doing some billboard advertisements, which I'll show you a couple mock-ups. Looking at doing some new signage on roads for Eaglewood. There's 2 really good ones coming up, Eagle Ridge Drive, and then kind of straight up from the city office. The one on this Highway 89 up is kind of hard to see, so we'll look at doing some of that.
Just those blue signs.
Yeah, if you look really close right underneath, it still says, please repair your ball marks. It's kind of funny.
Does the city do those? Ken, how does that work?
Yeah. I did talk to David Franson about those too, and he said, yeah, that would be good. Google advertising, I'm having some issues with our point of sale for up. System. They operate our website, and in short, Google's telling us that our website isn't compatible with their ads. I'm working with that to get it changed. It's frustrating, and I've been on it for 2 months, but haven't got the answers I need. Going to do some new signage around the building, especially the event center, front door, entry, kind of update some of those in the immediate time, and then we'll look at doing some more on the course to kind of.
And they cleaned up the sign on the big retaining wall
yeah.
in front, which makes the sign actually stand yeah. out and look like
yeah.
here.
And I've got Hunt's Electric coming this week to look at the electrical on the lights to see if anything's salvageable and what it would cost to get lights on there at dark. So right now it's mulch. We'll probably plant some perennial plants in there, staggered out, and then in the spring we'll do lots of annuals that make it look a little nicer. And that's kind of advertising. So I'm running billboards in Salt Lake County and one up in just north of Kaysville. These are running, they're the digital billboards. So if you happen to drive by and see them, let me know. I'm interested to see what they look like out there. Those are the two I'm running. This Eaglewood General one at the top, mostly during the week, and then running this afternoon weekend special ad on the weekends and Thursday. So we'll see what traffic we're getting.
Includes carts or not carts?
Includes carts, yeah. And I didn't want to put too much on here because people are zooming by.
Yeah.
If they go to our website, they'll be able to tell. After the most part, people will know.
Where are those billboards?
So we got one on 2300 South, 900 South. And then I just added one for this afternoon special today. I think on 54th, just south of Murray. And then one up on Kaysville. The ones in Salt Lake County are all going northbound. The one in Kaysville is southbound.
Nope.
So those have been good. They estimate how many cars go by, and I kind of look at analytics to that. So it's kind of neat.
I really like that logo that says Golf Course and Event Center because yeah. you're advertising the event center right there. And
yeah.
It's all part of the
yeah.
part of the building, you know. So
yeah, that's my hope. Kind of utilize both what I'm advertising, and if I can help this grow, even George's grow, if we can help them too, we will. Roger brought up some good points on COVID-19, making sure we weren't jumping the gun on alleviating or taking away some of our restrictions. We've probably put more in place than backwards. All of our employees are wearing masks. We're still disinfecting all the carts, washing them. Now we're requiring people as they come in the pro shop to wear masks, which we weren't previously, but we talked about it in the last 2 weeks. And I think it's, for the most part, I would say 90% of the people coming in wear them. We are encouraging people still to ride together and charging a cart fee, which we reduced. We had some complaints from some people that we charge too much. So we reduced it to see if it alleviates some of the problems we have there.
What do you do if someone tries to come into the golf shop without a mask?
I've not required them to go back and put one on. I made a request to wear masks,
but
not enforced it.
Do we have a box of masks?
I do have some that I've bought at Home Depot. I have not given them out to customers. I mostly just bought them for employees. But
it's something you could do though, if you notice that people are coming into the clubhouse without masks.
Yeah.
Ask people or patch table people. We could
offer them.
Box of masks, so.
Yeah, and that may be something we do.
But your guys are handling it diplomatically, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're not. Hey, you got to leave. Get your mask on. We're.
It's Salt Lake County, where it's a mandate.
Summit County too. You can't go in any building without a mask, and they actually have signs that say, their big signs, mask wearing is enforced. So, although I've never seen anybody,
I don't think we're in that situation.
Yeah, I don't.
And so,
yeah,
you don't have to wield the steel.
Handling it.
Yeah, and that's right.
I leave up there every Thursday, Park City. Believe me, plenty of people walking in without masks.
Well, and I would say that most customers recognize that they are walking into a place that need to wear a mask. I would say that 10% of people that aren't wearing them pause and even will verbally say to us, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot my mask. Like, they know that they're in violation of what we've asked them to do.
Yeah.
We even had people walk in half step, oh, I'll be right back, and then they go out and grab the mask and they come back in. So I don't know if it's, if it becomes an issue, we'll address it. I think it's the best thing to do. On the back to golf thing that Roger sent, I reviewed. There's three different stages that the PGA of America has put out. One was basically limiting it to walking only, no carts, no gathering, 10 people or less. We're kind of in between stage two and three, I would say. Stage two was limiting it to 50 players or more. Stage three is basically back to normalcy. So I think we're kind of in between with some other, you know, we still don't have rakes on the sand traps. We're still asking people to leave the flag in the cup. So we're still doing a few things too. We're not quite in stage two, but I think we're kind of in between.
I would guess most golfers like leaving the flags. Yeah. We commented on that today.
Yeah, now that it's legal anyway, there's almost no reason. What they're also finding is rakes and sand traps and bunkers might become obsolete with the exception of tournament play because it's just a hassle for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not had one complaint all year, whether here or in Spanish Fork, that the rakes aren't in the bunkers. I think people just understand.
Sunshine is such a great asset. I just think the rakes in there has to be almost sterile.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it started with not having to pull the pin a couple of years ago, and now the ball sits right there. In the bunker, I mean, you can move it if it's in a big footprint or something, but like McKenna and I played today, we both got in the bunker a couple times. There was hardly any footprints in there, so I mean, you didn't really care.
Yeah.
It speeds the play, too, because I mean, people take the time, but some people are meticulous, they never rake it just like they see on TV. And, you know, it's today, I think, just walk in the bunker, walk out like it's a waste bunker and not worry about it.
Okay. Any questions on that or recommendations that I should be doing to help not only protect our employees, but customers? I'm open to them. If you think of them later, feel free to email me. But I moved on with the slide, but we can always go back. I want to talk about Aerie Circle first. They're on the right side of hole number 11. They have been
Right there.
Yeah.
The red river.
Right. Yeah, so they've had issues over the year, from what I understand, with these both of these trees. So the one on the bottom right is the cottonwood trees on the clump. The right, oh, both of these are right side of the cart path. The one on the right, on the lower right, the cottonwood trees protect the homes. The Chinese elm at the top doesn't serve much of a purpose, and it is dying and or dead. They have expressed their concern to me that the cottonwood trees put a lot of cotton in their yard, and it's just an ugly mess, and that the Chinese elm is just dying and they want to get it out of the woods. They want to eliminate both of those. My recommendation would be to the golf committee is we allow them to remove both with the condition that they're replacing the cottonwood trees with other trees. They've looked at J&J Nursery on getting several cottonless cottonwood trees that are 14 feet high, so relatively expensive trees, and then some 7-foot pine trees to fill in with those spaces. My initial thought was that they needed to plant those before cottonwood trees were pulled out. I'm kind of on the fence now as far as they know that it's not going to, if we eliminate those, their houses aren't going to be protected. They signed a waiver to let me know that they're okay with that. I'm a little on the fence. The Chinese elm, it doesn't really come into play. It's not really protecting any homes. It's just kind of up on the top of the hill there, dying. So
I said no last year to the Chinese elm just because I said the city doesn't care that it's dead and dying, and we don't want to spend any money.
So part of this, yes, so they're covering all the costs.
That's right. It's okay.
The residents are volunteering to pay for the cost.
Yes, everything, the trees to be pre-planted and to removable.
Sorry, can be no cost?
Sure. No, I...
So I'd love some input or thoughts on those. I told them I would get to them, back to them probably this week.
So Tyler, did you say, at first, just trying to understand what you said. Mm-hmm. You said that your preference was the replacement trees going in first before the cotton trees.
Initially. Now I'm not so concerned about it. My concern was for the safety of the homes and them being there. But if they know that it's going to be several years before any trees are really protecting their home, then...
Oh, I see. So you'd allow them to take the cottons out, put the new trees in.
Yeah.
Because they've signed away.
Yeah. And I've confirmed with Weston, he is indifferent as well. So if they want to pull them out and won't pay for it to do it, his concern was he doesn't want our crew and his staff to have to do it. So
I'd like to see some kind of formal agreement signed by them, which would then
and that's, I think, what we've put together.
Because people make a lot of promises, mm-hmm. and then
I would
pull them out and say that was our whole budget to pull them out. We don't have the budget to put new trees in. If that happens, that would be
So I would draft something that I would have them all sign. They've already sent me a letter that they want them removed with all the neighbors' signatures. And I would reply with something back to them that require them to have some things finished.
So
trees
bought. Can we use a contractor to do this?
Yeah, I told them they have to have somebody licensed and insured to be able to do it on the golf course property. They had somebody in the neighborhood that would cut it down. I said, no, we got to have somebody that knows what they're doing to do it. So.
Are they planning to hire a company?
They have, they have a bid from a company to do it, as well as somebody, a licensed arborist that would cut it down, I guess is what they told me. So, yeah.
With the Chinese elm that's dying, do they have to replace anything, or they're just taking it
out? I think they would just take that one out.
Right. That was my understanding.
That's not, I know those sort of your purpose anyway.
Yeah.
Award, and I talked with them and walked it with them.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to want the fire.
Yeah.
It's
I was going to say,
it's a big tree, yeah.
The tree, do they cut them down for free in exchange to get to keep the wood, or
I'm not sure.
They charge again to keep the wood, so they for them it's double down.
Right.
Yeah, but the wood itself is not a big, it's worth a lot. I mean, the bottom line is you want to be good neighbors, but you don't want to start a trend where people feel like they can just start removing trees. Whenever they choose, so
that's
all. Yeah, well, I didn't have a concern.
Yeah, and I don't want this to be a rabbit hole.
We haven't spent, it's taken years for some of our trees to grow, even if they are cotton trees. It's
spread cotton. Yeah, I was gonna say, I've got one probably coming off the 14th, like my air
conditioner. And I don't think we would plant new cotton trees. But they, when the course was first built, they grow fast. They have feet a year, and that's why they did it.
It's unfortunate that they chose to plant cottonwood trees, but I'm sure they felt they were harmless. But they clog everything up.
And we actually had two fires up in the foothills in the last 4 years.
Do the cottonwoods grow as fast?
And from what J&J Nursery has said, yes.
But they do not.
From what I understand, I'll confirm. I'll call J&J Nursery and confirm that that's what they're purchasing.
Well, I mean, the fact that they grow fast is exactly what we want.
Yeah. Any thoughts? Are you okay with me drafting some sort of proposal to them that this is a requirements and then maybe send it to all of you before I send it to them.
Okay.
That would be great.
Even if they took the tree down today, they'd probably want to plant them like late September or October.
Okay. I'll get Ken and David Church.
Down before the cotton
Yes.
Fall.
hopefully.
Those trees are watered though from the golf course system, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we, and there are, it does water quite a bit up into there. It may be some, that may be part of our requirements too, that they have to maintain those, and if they die, then they have to
pay for it. They need to plant new ones even within 7 days of removal of the old ones.
Yeah.
And then just coordinate everything with Weston, make sure that the system's on.
It should be one project.
Yeah. Second item, Court, I talked about this a little bit. Some of the Montclair homes on the west side of Eagle Ridge Drive have been getting some balls cross over the road and into some of those homes.
Number five
T. So
somebody's really hitting the snapper left. Yeah.
So we've had, Court and I had a couple discussions, and I went out with Weston and even John, and I went out and looked at the tee box there. And Karen, was that the day that Karen went up us to? Yeah. We talked about it a little bit and tried to come up with some ideas to maybe alleviate some of those problems. I'd love some insight. Maybe that some of the thoughts we have were moving the tee box, maybe creating a new tee box or moving the tees up so we eliminate some of the bad players from playing so far back. I think that would eliminate some of them. Angling the tee boxes differently.
I noticed today when I played that they
good.
The white tees were
perfect.
Yeah, and then that causes
an extra create a new tee box, do you? Because I noticed you got an extra tee box that goes unused. And you just move the whites up to that blank one and then move the blacks up.
We would need to, because that one, we moved basically the blues and the whites, we alternate those. If we didn't have another tee box, then one of those would just get hammered and we would need another one there to kind of alleviate some of that rotation.
I have golf balls in my backyard, which is just stunning. I thought I was bad.
In your backyard?
Yeah.
So they're overshooting that green.
Well, this is the third. So the 13th hole, okay. I think they slice it off the tee box, hit the circle.
It has to go across the street.
I mean, my friend Barrett, I understand.
Yeah. Well, never underestimate the ability of the golfer, too, especially if you're in a slice zone.
Yeah.
It's usually less of a hook zone, but slice zone, I mean, everything's open game. I don't know if you've noticed on number five, but most of the tee boxes are purposely slanted, so you're going to push it to the right.
Yeah, we've had that discussion too, Nat, and some people are hitting into the players on number three coming up. So it's kind of a, which way do we push them?
A lot of players hitting
them. Well, I think what Tyler mentioned, we're up there, you know, moving the tee box over would eliminate some of that. The biggest problem is that the tee box is so high. I mean, you tee off on twice the height of the fence, so you mean you'd have to put a 50-foot high fence up there to stop them. But if you move the tee box over, then not many people would hit into three fairway. I mean, every time I played it.
But if you moved it over, which way?
To the right.
West or east?
Well, when you're on the tee box, move it to the right, away from the road.
So you can move it to the other side of the cart path.
But wouldn't more people be hitting it into toward number three tee box?
No, because see, right now what happens is, really goes to number three, you slice, you're going over there.
Yeah, it's kind of the.
If you stand there and look at it, you realize that would be a much better location. Plus, it's lower.
It definitely wouldn't eliminate all the issues. We'd still have some, but I think it would alleviate.
Bottom line is, it's a tight avenue right there.
Yeah.
A short hole.
Yeah. We can look at some tree placement.
I think it's awkward is the fact that, to me, that's a natural place for more trees. But there's a couple of mounds that exist where it's actually a window for someone who, what's that called?
Hook.
That's a hook. When they hook, there's a tree sort of, anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, planting three or four of the cottonless cottonwoods that would grow big and fast. I mean,
yeah, that may help as well.
Might help too.
Yeah. That would create more trouble than it's worth, though.
Oh, it does.
Big cottonwood said big tree roots, and now you can't do a cart path down the left hand side.
Oh, well, you go look at it. There's a mound and then it's steep hill.
You get on the downside towards the fence.
Right. That's what I'm suggesting.
Keep the balls from going out.
Because the problem in the neighborhood is not the drive, it's that they hit the road. And that's when it bounces. Yeah.
And I'm certainly concerned with, there's a lot of people that walk on that road all throughout the day. I would hate for anybody, and it's probably fortunate nobody has ever gotten hit. I know the fence is on this side of the road to help.
Now, how tall is that fence right
now? It's probably 12 feet.
Right, it is.
It's pretty high.
It is 12 feet.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a lot, except it's at the bottom of a hill, and the hill is 20 feet.
Yeah, it's only protecting those people that are walking right on that road and right on the sidewalk. Other than that, it's...
The problem is, if they increase the height of that fence, it probably wouldn't catch very many.
No, yeah. you'd have to make that 50 feet wider.
I told Kenny
today, I have a son who can hit the ball about 350 yards. On the first tee box, he could hit it over those houses and hit the houses on the other side of the street. I mean, that's how high.
Just hold it a little bit.
Yeah, no, mine just hold it as well.
I mean, he lives in Cleveland, unfortunately, but I mean, we can't believe how far some people can hit a ball. So putting a fence up or something is almost impossible.
No, I believe it. That's why I'm asking you about number five, because quite frankly, I tee it up from the blue tee and just hit it right toward the green every time. You're either on the green, just short, but you're a golfer.
We wouldn't have to worry about the lefty.
Yeah.
But anyways, maybe I'll work with Weston on some plans and maybe a cost of doing some trees or a new tee box and kind of go from there. Maybe next month I'll have
answers
in hand. Of course.
We had some neighbors who were really fighting with each other, and we're going to actually put some trees in on our HOA side.
Okay.
To
block some.
Because the neighbor who was getting a lot of them, it's the same guy who trimmed the trees, and he's been a pain in the ass. Oh, can I say that? that's off the record. But anyway.
On number five.
Anything we can, honestly, I think it's just good sense. I mean, people live on golf courses, know they're going to get some alcohol, but I'm really surprised how many are coming in that side. What's interesting to me is the neighbors who are on sixth fairway, where you slice it in, they get it all the time. They accept it. It came with their property. It's the ones who are getting it from the front yard who are like, hold on here. I mean, we're not even on the golf course.
Yeah, we thought we were safe. That's what they're saying.
On that, on seven, we've heard from people over seven.
Yeah. Windsong, yep.
Oh, no, you know, you'd have to move some earth, but sometime down the line,
and it's downhill, so it carries down
the elevation of the tees on number five. That would help a lot. You'd have to bring in a heavy equipment in Lake Fall, but you could do that pretty quick.
Yeah.
And just so it'd be more level, so you're not shooting down so much.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a bit downhill.
Yeah, I would eliminate that back tee.
It's about, what, an 8% rate downhill at least?
Where is this?
On five?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't need it. I got 15 minutes, so
okay.
I got a call that I can't get into.
Let's hit all the important stuff.
So I'm not trying to be
rude. We're almost done. Just a few more. I don't know if anybody else had a chance to read through this. I think we've kind of gone back and forth and added a few things here and there.
I skimmed over it, but you know about some slides that I did, so I will set
up. Okay.
You want to take this to the city council on the 18th?
Yeah, I'd like to be able to enforce some of this stuff.
So, I think it's good. The one comment that I have is some things like the cart needs to stay on the cart path. I mean, that's not likely to happen, and you know right away that most people are not going to do that. So I don't know whether it should be changed to, it would be great if cart stayed on the cart path, you know, rather than saying.
Yeah, I mean, it could say all carts need to stay on cart paths when available, and 90 degree rule is applied throughout the golf course.
Yeah, but that would make more sense. Because I mean, you look today, it's kind of nice, like, you need to see where everybody goes off. And like on number five, they're not going to follow the cart path because their ball is over to the right someplace.
So, protect that, rough off access points to a fairway.
Yeah. Yeah, I can just, for a policy perspective, I don't know if it needs to be changed, but maybe for a golf course setups side, you know, we could put out some used 90-degree rule signs and areas where we don't want them on the golf course, but.
Yeah, I think there are just a few spots up here that I think would help.
Yeah.
I mean, I usually think it's bad to have a policy that you know you're not going to enforce. It's better than make it soft and make it like, you know, you should.
Yeah, and I would rather have it strictly say stay on your golf cart pass, and then if people are up next to the tees and greens, I can say make sure you stay on the cart. I know that they're not going to on the fairways and roughs,
right?
But either way, it's
yeah. I mean, the more time it goes on, I think it's maybe you're getting players that don't know how to play. But I mean, I've seen people virtually drive the carts onto the green. They go right, you know. I mean, the tire's not on the green, you can't tell that.
Yeah.
You know.
one thing that little, this might surprise you, but the little article about pets.
Oh.
That's really ambiguous, and it seems to me like you're opening the door to allow residents to actually walk their dogs on the golf course if they so choose. And, you know, I don't know how big of a problem is, but we were playing the other evening, and there were people walking right on the golf cart pass, so we couldn't tee off with their dogs.
Yeah.
In the evening. So what do you do?
Oh, get away.
Well, I'm not going to get away and hit somebody.
So
my point is, yeah, they shouldn't be on golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this allows them. This leaves them freedom to.
I think
you just say no bets.
And this
no
article.
Golf courses allow bets on the golf.
Yeah, so this article doesn't apply to people that are walking. This would be more for if Joe Schmo wants to bring up his whatever and be in a cart and on a leash. Yeah, so this isn't for the general public to walk on.
It is still a 10-door lock.
Yeah.
Still paying customers shouldn't be able to walk their dog on the golf course. I mean,
no.
There's no upside.
Do they bring service animals on a golf
course? I think Weston wants to clean up after everybody's dogs on the golf course. I agree
they're everywhere around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to changing it. I don't really, I don't have a preference either way.
I'm just saying, let's say I came up to play golf and I suffer from anxiety, so I've got my comfort
dog. Your certified comfort dog.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's a good point. And also, if you're blind and you're playing golf, you need that guide dog. I wouldn't deny that.
I know a good
playing golf. Well, I mean, it's the same. No pets except for service animals.
Yeah.
I mean, never covered.
Okay. Yeah. I'll adjust that.
If you want to put a clause in there during the off season, maybe it's okay, but you're still open.
Yeah.
I mean, you're opening yourself to all kinds of insurance.
Well, as far as I understand, outside of golfing hours, we're allowing the public to do that, even now.
The signage says no.
Yeah.
But I think it's an issue in the future. The real solution is to fence the golf course.
Good luck.
I just don't know that we're ever going to
do that. No.
I know,
I can hardly
say it out loud.
That's not financial.
Well, I mean,
if
it looks like a park, you
put
fences up, it's going to look like.
I can put up a nice one. Well, this is the part where, I mean, of course, working on the mission statement, we filed. I mean, I think that it is community aspect beyond the golf course. So, in hours when golf is not out, seasons when they don't play, which is very few here, I mean, it should be open to other uses. I mean, it seems like it's in the asset. So, I mean, you know, after a certain time of night, you don't see people coming around except on the last hole. So people want to walk on the first nine here, say after 8 o'clock at night right now and it's still light. I mean,
yeah, they do.
I personally don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
And
I'd also put a line in there about bicyclists, no bicycling on the cart pass.
I've never seen that.
We had some longboarders the other day come through. Right at 1 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, super busy. They just zipped on down number one, all the way down number two.
And if you don't have any policy in writing saying you can't do that, then you can't enforce it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, there's really no advantage to allowing other. You want to be a good neighbor and everything, but I guarantee you, you know, Weston and his guys don't want to be cleaning up after dogs.
Yeah.
And
we just mulch it.
And bicycles, especially, you know, not to stereotype anybody, but the younger generation, if they come on the cart pass on their bicycles, pretty soon they go, well, we don't see any golfers. Let's go do some figure eights on number 9 green. What the hell?
Well, that's what they were doing.
That's not good.
Question for you.
Yeah.
With the success and the direction that things are headed, is the personnel, is the team excited about the way it's going, or are some people jealous of the success and are dragging their feet?
I think everybody's pretty much on board wanting the golf course to do well. I think there's some sense of urgency from everybody.
So some of the guys from the old guard aren't like jealous of.
Well, I can't speak for what they feel, but my sense is that they're all.
I mean, if they feel it, that's one thing, but if it's showing forth the new behavior.
I certainly have felt, and I've told Ken this, some animosity from several customers. I'm the new person and the old people are still here, and why have you changed things? I think there's some resentment there towards me, but as far as the employees, I think we're doing fairly well.
Good.
Not everybody's not 100% to where I'd want them to be as far as, you know, how I envision, how I treat customers, how I greet customers, how I'm doing all the interactions. Not everybody's
right. Yeah. I mean, it takes time and it's going to get there.
Yeah. Since you brought it up, I've made it a point to ask 10 or 12 people who I know play here frequently, but they play other golf courses, and they've all commented positively. What a great, there seems to be a new attitude here, and they like the new fresh atmosphere, and they like being greeted, and they feel like they're being treated better.
Good. That's good to hear.
It's all been positive.
Yeah.
The only one negative I heard is when the driving range was still closed,
and that's
been rectified. Yeah. And because people said, hey, I want to come over at 6:30 in the evening after work and hit balls. So that's no longer an issue, but that's the one and only criticism I've heard from anybody. So
anything you guys do here, I mean, I would like to know and hear if anything. So I'm very proactive on getting back to, I mean, I get voicemails every day from homeowners and very quick to resolve things and get back to people. So if you hear of anything or know of anything, please let me know so we can make adjustments if we need to. I'll maybe make some revisions on the pets, bikes, and skateboards, and maybe just send it over to everybody, and I'll highlight what I've changed, hopefully maybe by middle of next week, and then we'll get it ready for maybe have some sort of vote or approval before city council meeting. And then
the only other thing on the policy, I thought maybe you might want to stipulate, we're still saying golf professional in many instances here, which leaves it open to several different people. I wonder if you should just be specific and say general manager. And that way there won't be any confusion. Like somebody might say, you know, I was doing this because so-and-so, who's the assistant golf professional, said I could. But if you stipulate general manager, we know that the man up top needs to approve it. Otherwise,
yeah, that's a good point.
That was just an observation.
Yeah.
It's not certainly not critical, but
yeah, some of those, some items, you know, like fivesomes, I've kind of, and maybe I just need to review it and go through where it could be applicable and where it shouldn't be applicable.
Yeah, be a specific rather than general wherever you can. That's usually
okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
This document, these changes. Yeah. Okay. We have to distribute it next week to the council.
I don't feel like I know.
You need to look at it one more time. I didn't do that, but.
No, yeah.
But
I think, like, unless I'm in, I like to make a change, just go right up to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, on the pet thing, see that the pet policy actually contradicts this line right here that says no person shall be entitled to be on the Eagle Wood golf course without first having registered in the pro shop. See, so if you're out walking your dog.
Yeah. And we need to
register in the pro shop.
We probably just need to be more specific on.
Hey, what's the green fee for walking the dog?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
$5.
Yeah. Yeah, if I get a season pass,
it might be that this policy needs to make it clear what John was describing, which is that this facility of local police, not just golf.
Yeah.
But after another off season, maybe we should write that in.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, off season, I mean, the rules can be completely different for off season.
Okay.
But during golf season and golfing hours,
that you're not going to stop the slurs.
Yeah, and normally we need to.
I don't think you're going to stop the walk.
Yeah. I mean, I think as a community asset, it'd be perfectly fine. I mean, when people know there's no one that's shooting off on the wall, you know, the guy that does it at mean time, I mean, that's where a marshal is.
What do you guys think about people at 8 o'clock running out to one of our greens and taking a bucket of balls and practice?
No.
No.
No bueno.
Because that happens too. Especially on the backside.
I've seen
kids pull up there and just go on and share.
We had that problem on Willow Creek Country Club. A guy would have his own large bucket of balls. He'd go out to the 100 yard marker and hit sandwiches into a green on the golf course. You end up with an extra 500 ball marks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a no good. That's a no win for anybody.
Yeah.
That just kills the green.
I am working on a memo to all of the residents that are surrounding the golf course. Maybe I'll include some of those things in it too.
Yeah, but they can walk around, the play is not on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, these balls handle 99.9%.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Lord.
Very excited.
Appreciate it.
Are you here tomorrow?
I'm not tomorrow. I'll be here Sunday.
Well, is anybody else, if I wanted to buy that as shirt?
Yeah, John is going to be here.
And he knows how
and,
that works.
And Brent will be here in the morning as well.
Anybody up or being rude or...
No. Okay. No.
Because it's you. Thanks, Gordon.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Gordon.
I look forward to the next month.
Okay. And to go back on the memo, I was sending everybody, we've had some issues, especially more so during the day with neighbor kids just coming on the golf course and walking down to the pond. And I even had two kids this morning walking down number 9, picking up golf balls. So that's specifically why I wanted to send it out to everybody living on the golf course, just to remind them that this is the golf course and to not allow your kids to come on, especially during golfing hours. So part of that, I'll even mention.
Have you had problems with the neighbors bringing their own golf carts on the premises and just playing golf without paying a green fee?
One frequent customer in particular, I've given one soft warning and very one stern warning the last instance. So if he hasn't gotten the direction from me yet, then he has. Let's just put it that way. I've kind of given him his final warning on he would, anyways.
Must be a red card.
I will never neither confirm nor deny.
There's actually a red card, but there's also a blue card and just a white colored card. I've seen them in the evening. They just drive their carts from down South Eagle Point Drive right past my house, and then they come on the golf course. And
younger kids
and drive in and go back and play number 4, and then they play number 5, and they usually play in all the way through number 9 or more. So
is it younger kids? I would like to, and this would be probably some sort of project in the future, is to get, and I mentioned it, Ken, getting cameras on the golf course that we could monitor, especially some of the areas that we can't see from the pro shop after hours, you know, down 12, looking up onto 18T. There are several areas I think we could have some solar Wi-Fi enabled cameras that would.
Do you ever have enough staff where you can just send out a staff person, even if it's yeah. John or somebody, yeah. and say, "Hey, I just want you to make a tour of the back line
yeah.
in a marshalling capacity," because sometimes a lot of times in the evening is pretty slow, right?
I mean,
they don't really have anything to do that much. Yeah. I think just kind of take inventory of who's out there and who shouldn't be out there.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, we generally have at least two employees here till dark, if not three. So,
I mean, hopefully, it's not a significant problem. Where the problem, what I'm worried about is, there are about five orthodontists who live down there. They all have their own golf carts, and I'd be surprised if they pay to play. And I know they're always over here playing. So,
and this would be a future discussion with the golf committee. My eventual goal would be to eliminate private golf carts, not even allow them on the golf course.
Yeah, and then that's the easy way to tell. Yeah. Obviously, if you're not in an Eaglewood car, obviously you didn't pay. So.
Yeah. I have a feeling I bought all those golf carts. Here's my poor kids.
Yeah.
Well,
so that would be done.
Another right. way to partially take care of that, we talked about having an annual fee.
Yeah,
and
sure
put a sticker on it.
Yep.
So I mean, then they might come on and not pay the green fee, but at least you know the park's been paid. So
and I don't love the any sort of pass, because that eliminates my control over what I'm charging per purchase. But I'm not opposed to having every single person that comes here. I know who owns the golf cart. I know who's allowed to operate the golf cart, especially some of these younger kids that I know aren't 16.
Mm-hmm.
That A, their parents know that they're not allowed to operate it. And if they do operate it here, then they're, anyways, we can go down that rabbit hole when we need to, but I have some ideas other than requiring a seasonal pass, but still marking or knowing who owns those golf carts, who's allowed to bring them.
At least if they buy a trail pass, at least you know, I mean, we're going to have a record of who they are.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, we can talk about that some more. I don't like the passes just because, and that's why most golf courses don't offer season passes anymore.
Right.
Because your guy that plays 100 rounds a year is getting 50 cents a round or whatever.
$1.50 a round.
Yeah, so we want to control what we're charging, and it's been a change for a lot of my employees because we've not been charging for trophies. I've made it to where we are. It's $6
a night.
Trophies for carts. It's interesting to see the people that I know that live around here come and play, and I say, yeah, it's $6 for your trophy, and I'm pretty good at reading people. I understand that he's not comfortable and not know that you really should pay, but anyways, that's been a change.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're charging a trail fee, it's still a good price.
Yeah.
You're saving over the price you pay for a car every time.
Save $10.
I mean, it can be a win-win situation, but if they're sneaking on, that's just, there's no upside to that.
Maybe I can get the three of your thoughts, and here's how I would eliminate it. Would be through progression, how I would eliminate the golf carts, is I would grandfather in those that have or are bringing them on the golf course. You're on a list. You as the individual that owns the golf cart can operate this golf cart. You get a private cart fee. If you sell the golf cart, if you no longer play golf, and you're not a North Salt Lake City resident, then you're off the list. And once that, you'll slowly dwindle. Those people will sell the golf cart.
Yeah.
Those people will move away. If we're not offering it to Bountiful residents or lakes, you know.
You wouldn't ever add another golf cart.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever let any new private golf carts on. And then slowly you just eliminate. That's what Utah County did. Every golf course down there used to let anybody and whoever bring their private cart in, and we got together as golf courses and said, why are we letting people dictate to us what they can do on our golf course? And we, every course grandfathered a list in, and if they didn't have a pass there and if they got rid of their golf cart, then they were off the list. And they knew that. We gave them a year's notice. And I think when I left Spanish Fork, we went from probably 40 to 50 private cart fees to about four.
Well, I think that's a good idea.
I wouldn't want to eliminate and just say, no, you can't bring your private cart fee on because people have invested money and brought them.
Average person moves every 7 years, so pretty quick you're going to, have people who are on the list go off, and so you'll only have a few left at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, the only other question I had on the policies, when someone signs up for a corporate event, you're actually making them pay in advance for everybody, correct?
We will be taking a deposit. We have not been.
You haven't been doing that?
No, they usually...
Because in here, it's really ambiguous. This really opens up a can of worms because it says each person must pay individually. I'd never let them do that because then you're going to get no shows and no pays.
Yeah.
I'd make them pay, here's kind of, this isn't really a good analogy, but, the PGA Tour makes you pay a fee when you're going to have an event like the event at Willow Creek. We actually had to pay a bond 1 year in advance of the event that covered the entire person every
year.
They don't wait until the last minute. You have to ante up. And for outings, a lot of private clubs, it's you have to pay 30 days in advance the entire thing for everybody. And if you don't, your event's not scheduled.
Yeah.
It's just part of the contract, part of the agreement.
That's a good idea. That's a good thought.
And I don't know about this, but I know Brent's had at least one situation in the past where they end up playing, and it was a company that collected about 50% of the tariff. So they basically stiffed the city. And after the fact, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, you could actually pursue it legally, but who's going to do that?
So I
tightened that up a little bit.
This would be an easy transition because I'm working with Tanya right now on several of those items and getting their events and their weddings paid, and even helping them with their catering, getting their catering stuff prepaid before the event.
Everything's got to be up.
So we can do the same thing with the golf course.
More than golf.
So that's a good thought. I'll look at that on the policy as well. Any other items anybody can think of, I'm happy to discuss. If not, that's all I had for today.
I think we're good. Good progress, and just have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, like I say, everyone I've spoken to has been really pleased with the new attitude, good. And there's a new aura about the whole thing. And everybody likes the better bottom line.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to analyze why it's that way, let's just accept it. I mean, there are a lot of factors that have contributed to it, but it's a good thing. It's all good.
Yeah. An update on the yardage markers for the driving range. They are finished powder coating. They're supposed to bring them up first next week. So I'll send pictures of it.
Who did you get those from?
WSW Welding.
Okay. I was hitting with my daughter the other day, and I told her that one just went 400 yards.
National Motor Sliding.
And I've got those, and then we probably will put about this year with 12 and 19, but I've got some new scorecard boxes on 1 and 10 to go out. So we're making some small changes.
So you finally hired someone.
Thanks, Andrea, for hanging out.
Hey, Tyler.
Yeah.
Will you just tell me who was, I kind of can tell from voices, but will you just tell me who was there real quick?
Yeah, so we had myself, John Logan, Roger Graves, Court Hewish, Ken Leatham, and then Brian Horrocks.
Okay, and then I always forget her name. She wasn't there today, though, right?
Karen Mills, yeah, Karen was not here.
Well, you guys are awesome. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, Hey, Tyler, quick question.
Yes.
Did you record it too? Would you be able to send that to me?
Yes, if I can figure out how.
If you didn't, but if you're able to, that'd be great.
So. Okay. I think I probably can. I'll try to figure it out.
Okay. Or ask Linda. She might be able to help you. Okay. If you remember. If not, okay. Don't worry about it.
Nope. I'll try to figure it out for you.
Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Thanks.
We'll see you. Bye.